specifically as known. Let me ask once more, what is Our Lady's role in prayer? Our Lady, as we know, is both the Mother of God and the Mother of the new people of God. On the one hand, therefore, she is because she invoked Israel as the one who was nearest to the Divine Son. And second, as the Mother of Most High, she knows better than any other human being what indeed Mother's secret is for us to recognize what it is. Not enough for Our Lady, for the saints know what we need. We ought to know what we need. That is more specific. The more definite our prayer, the more directed our prayer is to what we, not someone else, we specifically need, shall have on different days, different times of the day, different events of our lives, different choices, times that arise in our lives. The more clear we are in what we need, the more beneficial will be our prayer. This is a strange question. How does blessing, express the fundamental purpose of prayer? Use the word blessing in so many senses. I've said more than one retreat. Our English language is the most indecisive, the most scattered, the least clear of any language spoken by man. I know what I am saying. What then does the word blessing mean in the church vocabulary? When we speak of prayer, there are two fundamental meanings to blessing, as the Catholic Church uses that term. We are to bless God. I'm afraid we Americans, Catholics indeed, and Americans. Read our papers, magazines, read what is advertised. Vocabulary become what a safe word. Confused. We are to bless God. This is good Catholic theology. Are we to bless God? We are to bless God in two fundamental ways. We are to bless God our gratitude for His goodness to us. We are to bless God. What a strange expression, by begging Him for the graces that we need. Notice what I am doing. I'm resorting to the most important declaration on the spiritual life of the Catholic Church. In all its centuries of existence, there has never been a more clear, a more specific, a more theological expression of our Catholic faith than what I quoted before, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which I've been working on for 6 years. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is meant to be the most penetrating, the clearest, and the most exhaustive analysis of the Catholic faith, not only on its theoretical, but on its practical side, ever written by the Church. We are therefore to bless God for His goodness to us, which means by our gratitude. In God's name, cultivate the habit of thanking God every day, and more than once a day, what He has given you, which obviously we do not deserve. But we also bless God. Strange language. Lamb of the Church, and bless God both by our gratitude and by our begging Him for the graces we need. The two fundamental ways that we are to bless God, the two basic ways which we are to pray. We are to pray by thanking Him and by asking Him. Let's be clear. We, creatures and sinners, deserve nothing. Whatever we get from God is a sheer gift of His mercy. As a sheer gift, we must pray, I trust all of you, from your youth, were trained to ask for what you need. We are to thank God for His goodness to us. We are to keep asking Him, asking Him. I don't think just once a day. I can say this many times a day. And the more needs God sends us, the more helpless we feel, the better. For then we are inclined to pray and ask God what we desperately need. Beg Him. Thank Him for what He has given us, and keep begging Him for what we need. But then, what bless has two different meanings. We bless God for His goodness to us, our gratitude. And we bless God by thanking Him for giving us what we do not deserve. He, in turn, blesses us by giving us herein, what we ask for. One of the most important statements in any language is we do not always get what we need. Lord, we get from God what we ask for, what we keep asking for, what we beg for, what we plead for. And with that, we don't always get what we ask for. As soon as we beg for it, is God's way of keeping us asking, pleading, begging. As I planned this retreat, I asked the Lord to make sure that I'm clear on the subject of prayer. We get only what we ask for. And it may be more desperate need than we realize. We keep asking and pleading and begging. Then, but notice only then, God gives us what we ask for. That is a very important statement. We do not, I repeat, we do not get from God everything we need. He knows we need it. Sure he does. So what? We are his creatures. As creatures, we are to keep begging, pleading, asking. Though we are. What is the prayer of adoration? As often as we use the word to adore, the noun adoration, I'm afraid many of us have never stopped to really ask ourselves, what do we mean by adoration? In the church vocabulary, adoration is the acknowledgement of ourselves as creatures before God. Adoration, the recognition of who we are with respect to God. What is adoration? Therefore, that form of prayer of our spirit for the King of Glory and the respectful silence we owe to the ever-living God. What a strange statement. Prayer of adoration is the respectful silence we owe to the ever-greater God. What are we saying? Much of our love, shall I say, most of our lives, are to be spent in silence. What God does with us, what God does to us, is often depending on how God treats us, maybe generally beyond our grasp. You never question God's dealings with you. You respect God's work in your soul with silence. Much I am saying. God is God. And except for Him, none of us would exist. Why did He make us? For reasons personal to Himself. Why did He send us the trials that we receive? In the last analysis, only He knows. And this, in one imperative sentence, is the prayer of adoration. A silent bending of the human will for the will of God. And not for the questioning, at least of all, never, never, never complaining to God what He does to you, with you, or for you. Let me speak of the prayer of petition. In the New Testament, the prayer of petition is how is it described? As asking God for what we need, as insistently calling upon God to help us. The New Testament speaks of a prayer of petition and beseeching God, pleading with God. I hope you've all sometimes experienced or will experience the desperate need of God. We are no human being, including ourselves, can help us. To petition God is to invoke God. To petition God means to entreat God. I'm afraid not a few believing Christians, when they meet the verb to entreat God, think of some saint pleading with God. Let me tell you, in our lives, God will, depending on how high He wants to raise us, what conditions in our lives that are, what I mean is, humanly impossible. We're nothing less than crying out to God, help me, help me. Can be a satisfactory answer to the deep need we experience. And let me tell you, the more God is calling us to closer union with Him, the more He will put into our lives experiences which consist in nothing less than crying out to God. We know that increase of volume in our prayers does not mean anything before God. But it means everything to us. It shows how deep can be our need. Lord, what do I do now? To whom can I turn? Who can help me? And His answer is, no one, no one but I. This repetition means crying out to God. As you read the Gospels or read the Psalms, made so many prayers in the scriptures. You wonder, what do the scriptures mean when a person is pleading with God, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Anyhow, how holy in His love God is calling us. He put conditions in our lives that require nothing less than a closed, locked room. When we are alone with God, the top of our voice, we cry out, Lord, help me. And I'm not quoting from books. This petition means entreaty. There is such a thing as even wrestling in prayer. Wrestling with ourselves, wrestling with the world in which we live. You know your world, I should know mine. Be with God, Lord, help me to cope, to deal with, help me to survive. I seldom say this. I will not be a priest today, would not be a member of the Society of Jesus today. I say, pleading with the Lord over the years, Lord, help me. Being a priest, a faithful priest today, is humanly impossible. I mean every syllable of that sentence. Being a good Catholic today for you, I mean it, is humanly impossible. You need help. How should we help? From whom? From God. We are to wrestle the language of Scripture, wrestle in prayer, fighting, struggling with our lower passions, struggling with the temptations we never expected to experience. Believe me, the Catholics who survive into the 21st century are not ordinary Catholics. None of them. This is one modern hope after another to keep studying us. This is the most trying period of Christian history. I've said this before. There have never before been more Catholics who gave up their faith, gave up what they had believed, than the Catholics in the second half of the present century. The devil is, what shall we say, demonically successful nowadays. Misleading millions. I say this with deep conviction. The United States today, be sure you find and follow faithful priests. Make sure you find and follow faithful teachers of the Catholic faith. Can no longer trust any imprimatur. No longer trust, should I say it, any bishop. We must know our faith and know it thoroughly, because we have experienced the struggle of wrestling with the powers of evil that are so demonically successful in our world. Here's a strange question. He'll ask, are there any lamentations in the New Testament? What's a lamentation? A lamentation is a prayer of sorrow addressed to God over the terrible conditions in which a person is living. However, let's be sure we know there are lamentations in St. Paul. St. Paul, a deeply committed Christian, having been a deeply committed sinner, once he is converted, he will more deeply than ever before the evil in the world and the sorrows, the pain, the evil causes one to want to serve God faithfully. In St. Paul, there are deep expressions of the strong desire to be delivered from the sorrows of this life, united with Jesus Christ. What a statement to make. I believe our present century, the next one just coming, I will expect to be different. Has been the experience of the deepest desires, I believe, in human history, be delivered from the sorrows of this life, and to be united with Jesus Christ. Never a wildest nightmare that I expect to suffer what today's world brings us to suffer. But God is preparing us to help those whom we love to be also prepared. Remember our principal duty as Christians, besides, of course, serving God ourselves, is to prepare others. Prepare them to live holy lives in today's unholy world. seem to imply we believe that for God to help us persevere, you cannot, I mean word, you cannot read the daily paper or the weekly magazine without special grace from God. What am I saying? I've said this before, but not so bluntly. In God's name, watch what you read. His room is filled with an ocean of ideas that are anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, anti-God in the deepest sense of these words. We need extraordinary help from God. And the moment you say we need help, the obvious conclusion to draw is we must believe for that help, ask for that help. Otherwise, I'm telling you the truth, you will not get it. I've said this before, it begins. We don't know how many there'll be seven. We don't know. We do know that not everyone will reach heaven. Heaven is to be stormed. You're going to fight for heaven. And this is not only begging for the help we need now for the trials that are facing us. We need help for the trials that will face us tomorrow and next week. Be prepared. Strange question. We all know we are to pray for what we need. Otherwise known as the prayer of petition. But you may be surprised, is the church teaching us what is the basic object of our prayer of petition? There are countless things we are to pray for, which we need. What is the most fundamental need that we have? Hear it, and after this retreat, don't forget. The basic object of prayer petition should be begging forgiveness for our sins. This is Christ's teaching. In one word, what does Christ tell us to constantly pray for? He tells us to pray for mercy. I know where to begin, without seeming just to repeat myself. But Behold sinners. And when we say that, which means you need God's mercy. We are sinners, period. The moment we are born, we are sinners, shall I say, the long before we have fully realized what sin is. And I say, we are sinners before we are born. We are sinners the moment we are conceived. Oh, how constantly, how patiently we should beg for God's mercy. And this, as the Church tells us, is the foundation for all prayer. Now we ask our last question for this argument. Is there a hierarchy in our prayers of petition? Yes. In other words, in asking God for what we need, is there a level, a height, or the other person, a depth? Yes. We should first pray for the coming of the kingdom. We must first pray for the realization that we are not made for this world. We are to pray the Latin word, ad veniat regnum tuum, thy kingdom come into my life. There is a kingdom of God. Well, let's be sure there is no guarantee that anyone will reach that kingdom of God unless he prays for it. And then, besides praying to reach the kingdom of God, we must pray for the grace to pay the price of reaching that kingdom. Oh, what a dream world many people are living in. And I think a dream world. Can we have the kingdom of God? But we are to pray for the help we need to pay the price. Heaven is expensive. Heaven is not cheap. Heaven costs. Conscious we are what things are cheap, what things in our lives are expensive. Let me tell you, the most expensive thing in our lives is heaven. It costs us a lot. And I changed the expression. Heaven costs us an awful lot. And we ask for the grace. The grace to cooperate with the price that God has set for me. Not you, not you, not you, me. Each one has to pay his own price for the heaven that he is to reach. And God is the divine merchant here. He sets the price. And the beauty is to be happy, to pay a heavy price, because then our joy that heaven that we shall reach will be so great. I wonder why on earth ever hesitated paying the price. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see a high price that is set on reaching heaven. It was the corresponding grace to be willing to pay that price. Not looking at what anyone else has to pay. You are dealing with me, Lord. You are in charge of my life. I ask you, the love of your cross, because in one declarative sentence, the price of heaven is carrying the cross. Amen. In the Father, the Holy Spirit, amen.